Father, we set our eyes upon you and only you. Jesus, you hold the words of life. Where else could we go? We've tried tradition, we've tried religion, we've tried social media, we've tried all kinds of things. But where could we go to get the words of life? Nowhere but you. You and you alone hold the words of life. So, Father, we choose today to be hearers and doers of the words of life that you give us. I pray that you would give us a grace to receive everything, even if it goes deeper than our capacity and our ability to receive it. Would you supernaturally just plant it in our spirit, even if we don't understand it? We ask that you would go beyond our understanding directly into our spirit, and it would germinate and produce a harvest in our lives, because your word is life. And so, Father, we thank you for bringing life out of our life by planting your word in our hearts. We choose to be hearers today and doers, God, receiving the seed of the word with joy, hiding it in our hearts, protecting it from the birds of the air and the cares of this world that would try to choke it out. We hold fast to your word because we know and believe it is truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah, you're the right person for the job. Well, we're in the hard road, and I don't know if you have a little thing of what today's episode is. That's episode 15, Romans chapter 15. But yeah, it says, be patient and be pleasing. Be patient and be pleasing. Romans 15, 1 through 2, first in the New Living. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. Remember last week? Not to argue over stupid stuff that divides the church, nonsense. That's not salvation, that's judgy. He says, stop it. If you're prone to be judgy, stop it. If you're prone to argue about stuff that's not super important in your arguments, especially run people away from Jesus, stop it. Go ahead and stop. Go and stop it. And definitely stop it and put on some personal application, you know? We must not just please ourselves. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. You want to see what the Amplified says? Good, because we got it. We got it. Now, we who are strong in our convictions and faith ought to patiently put up with. I'll just stop there a minute. Ought to patiently put up with the weaknesses of those who are not strong and not just please ourselves. Today in this chapter, episode 15, we're going to utilize the New Living and the Amplified because I really want us to chew meat off the bone, like gnaw on it a bit, you know, like a junkyard dog. And you wanted a picture? I got one. Like this. This is how I want to go through scripture today. Like this. Like gnaw on it a little bit. Chomp on it. Chew. That's a junkyard dog. But if you're from my generation, this is a junkyard dog. I got one of those. Yeah, that's a junkyard dog from my generation, the WWF. That's back in the day, junkyard dog, you know. But every time scripture's read, I really want you to get all the meat you can. Last picture, I want you to get all the meat you can. That's an Italian deli. If you leave there hungry, that's your fault. If you leave church hungry, it's not because I'm not serving up something good. And that's not because of me. It's because it's the word of God. So get on it like a junkyard dog. It's a bunch of bone today. Well, gnaw some grizzle off whatever pastor throws down, you know. Get some sustenance. Please eat what is meant for you today and pray for everybody else. Eat what is meant for you and pray for everyone else. I have a recap of last week's points, I think. Mini recap. Check yourself. Check yourself. If you're prone to check others, check yourself. If you're not prone to check yourself, check yourself. If you overcheck yourself, don't wreck yourself by overchecking yourself, but check yourself. Pray and encourage others. Don't judge others, because no es tu trabajo ese. It's not your job, bro. And Hannah, thank you very much, Marisol. I sent her, like, she fixed my translation. And I said, can I throw essay in there? She goes, if you want to be gangster. And I do. So no es tu trabajo ese. It's not your job to be judging others. Not your job. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not your job. Romans 15, 1 through 3 in the Amplified. Now we who are strong in our convictions and faith ought to patiently put up with the weaknesses of those who are not strong and not just please ourselves. Let each one of us make a bit of practice. Let each one, if you're in each one, put your hand up. Let each one make a practice of. Make a practice to please his neighbor for his good and to build him up spiritually. To make a practice to please my neighbor for his good, to build him up spiritually. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written in the scripture, the reproaches of those who reproached you, the Father, fell on me, the Son. Now, I have something to stop here for, because I have a professional counseling practice. And when I hear, you know, please my neighbor, I hear my grandson. I almost put a video. Go, wait. Make a practice to please others. Didn't my therapist say not to be a people pleaser? Yeah, he did. The leading TikToker says people pleasing ruined their life. My friend Stinky says that I'm a people pleaser and that's terrible bad. Stinky knows. And I want to say this. Yes, sometimes people pleasing is bad. But don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Why that needed to be said to anybody, I don't know. Like, who had to say, hey, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater? Like, oh, I don't know. I'm a new dad. I just thought, you know, I don't know. Just can't imagine why that needed to be said, but it did. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Listen up. TikTok, don't be a pleaser, boy. There are two sides to that coin. Take a deep breath. Blow it all the way out. I'm going to step on all our toes. People pleasing at times can be bad, but pleasing God and pleasing others is part of our job responsibilities. Scripture. So think of it. If you're his kids, as spouses, as parents, as children, as workers, as citizens of earth, some of us are in a covenant with God and have covenants with a spouse. Anybody? Anybody have kids? Anybody work for somebody? Anybody have employees? Anybody just care for other humans, not just yourself? Okay. You should be looking to please in all the relationships that God has given you to be pleasing in. I'll stop at marriage for a second. Here's going to be a hard thing. Both people should be trying to outplease the other. If you're living in the princess and the pea world, and homeboy is just hooking you up and taking everything, and you're treating him like a dog, stop it. If she is treating you like the king of Siam, and she cares what you have for dinner, and makes matters, and she makes the bed like you want to, and the house smells like you want to, and things about you, that's out of balance. You should be working your butts off if you're married to please the person you're married to and what best refreshes them, the way they need refreshing, the way they need love. You're called to please them. And if you're the one being pleased, you better get to pleasing. I know, equal toes. I'm going to get everywhere today. Everywhere you go. How about parental roles? You ready? Kids should obey, yes. But both parent and child should be able to expect a good benefit from that relationship, right? Kids hopefully are getting good, unselfish parents, training them and loving them, even if they have unpopular rules. All right. It's like, I don't got kids. I ain't married, so I'm dancing. In your workplace, boss and employee, often you're hired to do a job and to do it well. Like, yeah, I'm hiring you, but you just do terrible. And I don't care how it looks in here. I'll pay you for sure. I don't know if he had that in their interview. If you do what you're supposed to do and you do that, then I'm going to pay you the agreed paycheck. And if bosses don't do that, that's shame on them too. The quick takeaway is sow into all the relationships he's given you to sow and sow how he asked you to sow. Because there's relationships that we're called to please. We're not free rangers. If it was all about pleasing myself, I'd be a potato farm right now in Colorado. Why potatoes? Because they're not as messy as cows. Right? And an Irish-Italian name sells potatoes. Sean Capozzi's Potato Farm, you know. But I can't please myself, so I'm not in Colorado. I'm at Apache Junction obeying what he asked me to do and feeling like Stretch Armstrong in the process. You know? Romans 15:4-6. Sorry about that, Bob. Such things are written in the scriptures long ago. Paul reiterates the importance of God's word for direction over. He's always going back to the scriptures. It says the scriptures are meant to teach us. Do you know that? That's where they're one of the things. And the scriptures also give us hope and encouragement. Read his word when you feel hopeless. If you're feeling hopeless, get into his word. Get into worship when you feel hopeless. Read his word first. No matter how sad you are, don't run to Netflix first. Not first. I'm so sad. I'm going to put out Terms of Endearment. Oh, just cry. I got to watch a Julia Roberts film. I am overwhelmed. Chill back from that a minute. I'm not saying don't do that later. Get out your chocolates. Let your husband rub your feet. Let your wife play with your beard. Chill out. But I'm saying when you're real sad, ever get real sad? Run to him first. That's the first place we should run. If not, we end up more sad. All the time. Run to the scriptures to be taught what you need to know and run there for hope and encouragement. And do all that as we wait patiently. Do all that, what he's been talking about all through Romans, do all that as you wait patiently. I have a hard enough time at the red light of 16th and Ironwood. Bro, it is way long. I want to call the city and say, come on. What is happening? You know, I hear the Jeopardy in my head. It's like 8 times before the light changes. But do all that as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. May God who gives this patience and endurance help you. Where do you get it? Like, I don't have that kind of patience. Get into him. I don't have it. I'm one of the most impatient humans on the planet. And he's been work second. Meryl says you're second. You know, every year we get a new badge. That's the guy. I need to beat Harold this year. You know, may God who gives the patience and encouragement help you. May God help you live in, not just occasionally when you're singing together. Not just occasion when everything's groovy. May God help you live in complete harmony with each other. May God help you live in complete harmony with each other as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then, if you practice that, then all of you can join together with one voice. One voice giving praise and glory to God, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the point that you're looking for in worship right there. One voice, one heart, boom. I've seen miracles happen in this place. When that moment happens, just God healed people, do what he wants to do. I love it because no one laid hands on anybody and no one had a prophetic insight. God just did something because it was God. No one gets glory but God for a thing, and that's the way it should be anyways, right? Come on. Romans 15:7. Therefore, accept each other. I wrote here in my notes, make a dramatic pause. Therefore, accept each other. Okay. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given the glory. And for humans to do all that is proof God exists. For me to have an ounce of patience, that's a proof of God. For me to be socially interactive more than 14 seconds a day, that's proof of God. Like, some things God does in us and through us, like he delivered you from cocaine. Yes, he did, but also he made me patient. Does it sound equal, but patience is harder? Anybody? It's awful quiet in the church today. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. He also came so that the Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. That is what the psalmist meant when he wrote, "For this I will praise you among the Gentiles, I'll sing praises to your name." Scriptures, God promises from his word. You got to hold them and grab them. And sometimes it feels like you're waiting forever for the thing he promised you. Like, he promised you something, you get impatient. I start trying to help him. I don't know if you try to help God when you're like, "You said this, so I'm going to help you. You know, I have an idea that could help us get to where you want us to go." Right? We got to have, are we going to be here or not here? In case we're not, I should find a couple building choices or no? Okay. You know, Lord. You promised you're going to take care of your people. He didn't say, "I'm going to take care of your people." He said, "You're going to take care of your people." And God is a promise keeper to both the Jews and the Gentiles. If you're a Jew or a Gentile, raise your hand. That means everybody in this room. And then God made a new covenant opportunity for all mankind. Say, "Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, thank you." Like, sometimes we forget that. Remember that moment that you first saw him and you're like, I can be forgiven? And he's really here. I remember walking into the church building, of the sanctuary building that I found Jesus in. He found me in. It's going to be leveled soon back in New York. It's the old ministry center. It probably should have been leveled when I first got saved. It was worse than this, you know, believe it or not. But I walked in there and it was so different for me coming from Catholicism. I had no other service. I'd never not walked into another church. I actually felt if I walked into another church, I would somehow be struck by lightning. I don't know if my grandmother made me fear that. I don't know. I was like, it's not saying something above the door. Better be careful. My grandma says we all might get zapped, you know. And I remember walking in there and worship was going on and I felt God. The people in front of me were freaking me out. One lady's spinning over here with flags. I'm like, "Settle down, top. Spin over there. I don't know you." You know, and I didn't trust anybody. Holding my back to the wall, like, "Don't be hugging me." If I would have walked into our church, some of you have been like, "That guy's mean." I didn't hug anybody for a long time. I know what your motive was. I don't know who you are. But I knew coming in every Sunday, I felt Jesus and worship, and I needed that like I needed air. And before I knew it, I was reading his word on my own, and I never knew I could do that. And he was coming off the Jimmy, and I wanted more. Go back to that moment. Sometimes you got to take yourself back to that moment to remind yourself what he's done, but what he did. Remember that dead person? Sometimes you got to go, "Yeah, I forgot about him. Thank you, Jesus." Right? I'm telling you, thank you. Romans 15, 10 through 12. In another place, it is written, "Rejoice with his people, you Gentiles. And yet again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you people of the earth." And in another place, Isaiah says, "The heir to David's throne will come, and he will rule over the Gentiles, and they will place their hope on him." This was big news. And he's going back to the word to prove it. Like, wasn't Paul like, "Hey, I just had this meeting with God, just him and I. We went out to a field. And then he just told me all these new things, and it's completely different than the Old Testament. Trust me." Like, no, bro. No, bro. If his word doesn't confirm it, then it's not his word. So Paul's like, "Hey, remember his word. His word, his word. It's his word." Then Apostle Paul does this amazing thing. He goes to me in this little section. He goes from Apostle Paul to Pastor Paul. Not tent maker Paul, not apostle Paul, not world evangelist Paul. He goes, because he stops right in the middle of writing this letter and he pauses and he prayer drops on him. I mean, it hits his heart like he sent him a song or something. Like he threw him a text, you know, right in the middle. Here, let's read it. Romans 15, 13, right in the middle of talking to him about everything he's saying. He says, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust him. Man, don't we need more of that? The world needs more of that. I guarantee you don't have a lot of joy and peace TikTok feeds. A lot of your reels aren't filled with joy and peace. Most of your news articles, not joy and peace. That's what the world needs, and we're supposed to have it so we can give it away. Because it's not about us pleasing ourselves, it's about pleasing others. Then you will overflow with a confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. He prays and says, I pray that you guys overflow with his presence. Like if you just follow the letter of what I'm saying, you just try to make this law and it doesn't get into your hearts, it's not going to do anything but damage. But if you'll fill yourself with his presence and let this get in you, you're going to be world changers. Romans 15:14. I am fully convinced, my dear brothers and sisters, that you are full of goodness. That's when I look at you guys in my prayer, like, this is one of the most amazing places I ever get to speak or be. Every Sunday, this is where I want to be. I'd blink myself up north, probably half a Sunday through half a Saturday. But on Sunday mornings, I like to be here. Because this is a genuine group of people who love God, and they're going after, they're seeking him, and nobody's perfect, and everybody knows that. I'm fully convinced, my dear brothers and sisters, that you're full of goodness. And you know these things I've been saying in Romans so well, you can teach each other all about them. Do you hear that? That you know these things so well. Are you a you? Say, I am the church. So that you would know these things so well that you could teach each other. The church has his words, and everybody should familiarize ourselves with God and his word if you're a Christian. Like the only time that you hear the word of God is on Sunday, you're starving yourself and you're not having enough in you to feed those others around you that need to be fed. We should be able to teach each other, it says. Even so, I've been bold enough to write about some of these points. Ready? These points. He says these points in Romans, each believer should be aware of these points in Romans. You can't skip the book of Romans. It often gets skipped. Each believer should be not only aware of them, each believer should be applying these points for themselves. Each should be able to not only apply them, be aware of them, each should be able to teach each other with them. So if someone asks you a hard question, you're like, just go, well, the book of Romans says, this is God's word. I didn't make this up. I didn't pull this off TikTok. This is not the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, the neutral party, the Communist Party, the party in your backyard. It's none of it. Knowing that all you need is this reminder. What is the reminder that we all need? What is the one thing, God? Thank you, Paul. Remind us what we need. For by God's grace. For by God. Say amen to that, right? Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Romans 15:16. I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles. I bring you the good news so that I might present you. I'm bringing you the good news so I might present you as an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. So I have reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ has done through me in my service to God. I want to ask ourselves right here, what is your service to God? If you each have a service, what is your service to God? We all should have a service to God. I mean, some folks' service is like, man, Wilson Croft, I know one of his services. If it looks nice, smells nice, and has been picked up and not crunched on, that's his service to God. He's in here serving God by cleaning the church. Yes, this is his service to God. But what is your service to God? Like, what is the things he asked of you? Not what you want to do. I want to be the lead singer on the worship team. I can't wait till Pastor is shut up because I want to read Romans. Anyone can read Romans. What's your service to God? Yet I dare not boast. I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me. Bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them. Hold up. What Paul said, what Paul taught, Paul did. What Paul said, what Paul taught, Paul did. He proved himself and God showed up. So often you look at things in life, why isn't it not, there's trials and tribulations, but look around at things, go, wait a minute, am I doing what God said I should be doing? Is this a trial or is this a dumb thing? I'll tell you a dumb thing I did yesterday. This is not in my notes, I guarantee it. Some of you, when you picture the Garden of Eden and the temptation of the apple, right? You always pick this apple tree, probably this New York apple, and she picked the apple. It's not that for me. If you've ever seen a ripe mango tree, a big billowing ripe, and they lower the fruit on ropes. Like, you don't have to climb up and pick it. These ropes descend, and they're beautiful, and they're red, and inside they're yummy and sweet and juicy and good. So I could see going, oh, look at that. Don't touch that. I already touched it. Oh, good. That's temptation to me. Well, yesterday I had a little mango treat, and I thought it was just like a frozen little mango treat. And I didn't read the instructions because I thought it was a frozen mango treat. And then I bit into the frozen mango treat, and it was my evil enemy, Dairy. And almost ruined Sunday for me. Not just like the enemy throw a little thing in, it looks good, it tastes good, it smells fun. Everybody else in the family can eat it. Yeah, but not me. Sometimes you got to do what he asks you to do for him to show up. Because if you don't do what he asks you to do and you wonder why he hasn't shown up, he's going to say, where you been? It's not me. Come where I am, not where you are. You know? By bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them, they were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way, I have fully presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Greece. Romans 15:20-22. We're doing so good on time. I'm so proud of me. Good job, me. My ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard. That is a rare place on the earth anymore. It really is a rare place. But the outermost parts of the earth, the remote parts of the earth, are rarely revisited. There's a place that I long to go in Samoa that the missionary came and like his biplane crashed, I guess the story I heard years ago, and he brought the gospel to them, and many of them became Christians, but they also have an altar that they worship this plane crash in the sky. So, outermost parts of the earth need some work. We're trying to build a place in the outermost parts of the earth because you don't know. It's part of the job. Paul's like, I want to go where no one's heard Jesus. He got beat up a lot. She's like, yeah, that sounds romantic. A lot of people die that do that. It's usually the cost of our lives. Go where they've never heard rather than where a church has already been started by someone else. That's why we went to a dog track. You know, no one's done that. No one's planted a church in a bar. I have been following the plan spoken of in Scripture. Again, Scripture, the basis for Paul's life. Been following the plan spoken of where? In Scriptures. Where it says those who have never been told about him will see. And those who have never heard of him will understand. In fact, my visit to you has been delayed so long because I've been preaching in these very places. Imagine going to a people outside of your local people and God asking you to do that. Because he still does that. And a lot of people that don't go, they'll say, well, what about my neighbor? Have you gone to them? Most people that use that excuse don't go anywhere to anybody with anything they got from Jesus. They're just hiding in Walmart with their Syracuse hat. I mean, that's me. But he sends us to people who have never heard or heard it for real, authentic, from someone who's living it and working in their life and is not boastfully perfect, but they're living it and working it in their life. Like, he sends us there. He still sends us places. He says, in fact, my visit to you has been delayed so long because I've been preaching in those very places. It takes people and money and unity to change the world, sending people out. You know, Miley needed stuff financially. I mean, I think she gets by on like Butterfingers and pita bread. I picture that. Like, you know, I've got licorice and she breaks it up for the team, you know. Save that red vine. We may need it tomorrow, you know. Ah, come on. I picture her being so skinny, we're going to have to like just shovel protein in her mouth. I don't know. Romans 15, 23 through 24. But now I have finished my work in all these regions, and after all these long years of waiting. Ever wait on something for a long time? Yeah, long years of waiting. You can picture Ironwood and 16th. Long years of waiting. But even longer than that. Even longer than those babies in the back been alive. Even longer. After all these long years of waiting, I'm eager to visit you. I'm planning to go to Spain, and when I do, I'll stop off in Rome. And after I've enjoyed your fellowship for a little bit, after we've kicked it, hung out, and told stories, and like had, you know, fire pits, and just we spent time grubbing down, and Cassie made some good food, and you know, and woo, after we got done, Jasmine took together a bash, like, man, Pastor's been gone for a couple years. I hope the food's good if I came around. She's like, Pastor hasn't been here for a couple years. We're going to have some good things. So yes, Jasmine, you're my people. He says, after I've enjoyed your fellowship for a little while, you can provide for my journey. What? After you refresh me in our relationship, then you're going to take up an offering and support me so I can go do my job. Man. He's pretty bold, isn't he? I'm coming, we're going to hang out, and then you can support me. What? You're not my teenager. Paul, the hard road requires things from everybody. Personal things, life choices, finances, prayer, going, sending. Romans 15, 25 through 29. But before I come, I must go to Jerusalem to take a gift to the believers there. For you see, the believers in Macedonia and Achaia have eagerly taken up an offering for the poor amongst the believers in Jerusalem. They were glad to do this. Man, that happens here. Whenever we rarely take up big offerings for things, but we do, there's a joy in it. You know, like the Christmas box thing gets carried away. You all get excited, and Jody like, man, can we get all these boxes by ourselves? There's more than we had last year. We need another truck. Now we'll just tape them to the top. Can you sit on the back of a pastor? Yeah, I'll hold them down, you know. But everybody's like, yeah, more toys for the kids. I'm like, oh, okay. We're glad to do this because they feel they owed a real debt to them. They're glad to give financially because they feel like they owe those believers a debt. You ever owe somebody a debt? There's people that took me in their life. Man, I got couch debt. When I was a young punk, I slept on a lot of couches. People made me family. I got couch debt. I'll never pay back my couch debt, ever in a million years, but I try. And no matter what they say to me, stop paying back the couch debt. Oh, you have no idea. I'm alive because you gave me your couch. I can't pay that back. Or you brought me Jesus, man, just for the rest of my life. Hey, you made me a cornhead to this day, but I'll honor you. Why? Because you brought me Jesus. I can't pay that debt back. Come on. They were glad to do this because they felt they owed a real debt since the Gentiles received their spiritual blessings of the good news from the believers in Jerusalem. They feel the least they can do in return is to help them financially. As soon as I've delivered this money and completed this good deed of theirs, I will come to you on my way to Spain. And I'm sure that when I come, Christ will richly bless our time together. Romans 15, 30 through 33. Dear brothers and sisters, I urge you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to join my struggle. Join my struggle. Be praying to God for me. That sounds like the text I send to the men's every week lately. Don't it, Derek? Somehow pastor's throwing, hey, pray for me. Pray for me, right, Dave? Pray for me. I got people around the world that they're saying, I'm praying for you lately. This is why. I know I need it. I've never been in a season like this before. Fighting every turn. I feel like the enemy's trying to do something. And I don't put an enemy in every, I'm not that guy. There's a devil over docks. No, he's been defeated. I'm talking about principalities and powers and rulers in high places. And sometimes when you're the top of the spear, you have to deal with that. So I'm soliciting prayer. Like, he's trying. I feel him trying to kill me. Paul's like, I urge you. Like, when you get an urgent prayer request from somebody, like, hey, please, can you stop what you're doing? There's people that I get prayer requests like, hey, you know, my pinky toe has been swollen for half an hour. You know, it could be the brick I dropped on it when I was carrying too many bricks. Could you stop everything and pray right now? It's not broken. It's just my pinky toe. Those are good, and I want to pray for your pinky toe. But I get other prayer requests that have a little more urgency than that. It goes in the queue. There's some people, they don't have any words. I get a fire emoji from some people, and I stop exactly what I'm doing in that very moment, and I pray. Because that means I am under assault, like nobody's business. And when I send that, I want that kind of reaction too. That's part of the job. We should be praying for each other. And Paul says, dear brothers and sisters, I urge you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, join in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pastor Paul saying, do this. Do this. It's like self-serving. It's hard to say this to somebody. Like, this sounds arrogant, but to me, these are hard words to say. Do this because your love for me. Like, if you love me, pray for me, he's saying. I'm in the urgent battle. I'm out here 2 years gone away from the body. I don't get Sunday worship like that. I've been left for dead. I've been stoned. I've been beaten with whips. I've been tossed aside. I've been, people hate me here and people hate me there. And miracles are loading me out of baskets in places. And people want to take the building or whatever it is. And Paul says, hey, urgently, I know it's been about you because I've been building the church up. I've been trying to build the church up, and I'm trying to say to you this. Stop concentrating on yourself and concentrate on somebody else a little bit and give that. And then in the midst of all that, I know I told you a bunch of hard things about your life and how you got to change things and how we can be more like Jesus. But after you're all done with that, can you do one urgent thing for me? Can you pray for me? Man, Paul is just laying it out, isn't he? Because you love me. And your love for me was given you by the Holy Spirit because I'm not that lovable. He didn't put that in. But he seemed ornery to me a little bit. No, he's not ornery. Pray that I will be rescued. Pray that I'll be rescued from those in Judea and those who refuse to obey God. You know what's funny is he knows what's coming. He knows what the road looks like. You don't pray for rescue out of nowhere unless you know you're going to need rescue. You know? I feel his heart here because if he's shepherded anybody, if you care for anybody, and you've laid your life out there, there are times, right? There are times you got to go to battle for somebody else. And then there's times you got to admit, like, I could use some prayer. I'm in a hard place. I'm plowing. I've been there. Have you been there? Yeah. Pray that the believers there will be willing to accept the donation I'm taking to Jerusalem. That sounds crazy at first, but pride can keep you from accepting even the help that was sent by God. Pride can keep you from accepting the help that was actually sent by God. Pride will keep you at times from helping the very you were praying to God, asking for an answer, and when he sends it, sometimes in such a humbling fashion, it's hard to receive it. Just scripture. Pray that these believers will be willing to accept the donation. Then, after I finish all that, by the will of God, I'll be able to come to you with a joyful heart. Man, when you're done with your task, you know, I read this thing on Facebook someone put up. Sometimes when there's a thing on my task list that wasn't on my list, I write it down and cross it off for the satisfaction, dopamine hit. I'm that way too, like, aha, clean the garage wasn't on there, but I'm going to write it down so Dr. Heidi can see it, and I'll put a line through it. Look what I've accomplished that wasn't on my list. I feel good. After all that, after I finish everything, then, by the will of God, I'll be able to come to you with a joyful heart, and we will be an encouragement to each other. And we will be an encouragement to each other. Because we need that. And now, May God, who gives us his peace, be with you all. Amen. That sounds like he's closing out the letter. He said, can't wait to see you soon. Going to need your help. God is doing awesome stuff. Pray for me. Amen. You send everything with amen, right? You get so Christianese sometimes, no matter what you're doing, you start ending a sentence with amen. You're like, what are you doing? Did you take the dog out? Amen. How'd that turn into a prayer, Ray Board? I don't know. I was just, you know. Our series, The Hard Road, comes to a conclusion actually next week with a verse that we all often feel is okay to lightly skip through. You know why? Because it's not hard. It actually seems like a lot of non-essential stuff. A list of people's names. But apparently it's in the scripture for a reason. So I think we're going to dive into it. I have 3 minutes left of your time if you want it. I may have given Dr. Heidi the right song. She may have it queued up. I don't know. This to them sometimes Sunday mornings. I come in with a thing and it kind of wreaks havoc on the technical crew. It's okay. They love me anyways. Pray for me urgently. But if you're human and it's been more about you than about other people, I think God deserves some kind of response from us. And you may be a great husband. You may be an outstanding wife. But sometimes our pleaser gets broken and we're really more about being pleased than being everything we could do to be the pleaser. Maybe you're a parent waiting for a kid to jump up and take accountability. Or maybe you're a kid that needs to jump up and take accountability. Because kids expect certain things from parents. And some of us, we do our best job, but we fall short. And you might know where that is. And if you beat yourself up of it, give it to Jesus this morning. If you're a kid, if you work somewhere and you know, maybe I should, when I clock in, actually work. Maybe when I write my time card, I won't add it an extra hour and a half. Maybe when he said, did you clean your truck? I say, uh-huh, but I didn't. Maybe you promised a bonus to that guy working so hard you didn't give it to him because you found a technicality not to give it to him. I don't know who you are, and that's between you and God. I guarantee every one of us has got a place we can go serve somebody better in our life than we've been being servants to them. Who in your head right now you're going, I could serve them better? Not out of, oh, woe is me, but out of, I love them and they serve me. And actually, I'm in covenant relationship with them. So I should be praying for every row in this church. You don't have to. I hope you do. That's my covenant promise as shepherd. But I can get better at that because, there's some Sundays I go, right side, left side, middle, Father. No, I don't do that. But sometimes I don't take the time I could going through each chair, taking a moment like you'd want me to. I get a bit better at shepherding. I could get better at husbanding. I could get better at parenting. Anybody can get better at something God asked you to do. I'm going to put on a really sappy song, and you don't got to go anywhere. You don't got to come up front. You don't got to lay on the floor. You can grab cheese puffs and head home, or you can take a moment. And it's just your moment with God. I'm just trying to set it up for you. So, Dr. Heidi, I don't know if you have it. So, take a moment, then we'll close. Father, there be no other love above you. And you pour out your spirit on your people. Everything that someone laid on the altar of their sacrifice today, you come for it, Lord. You come for it and replace it with your presence. Father, we would be stewards of your word in our lives and stewards of your presence in our lives. And stewards of the people that you've given us to steward, Father. Make us better lovers, Father, this season than we have ever been for your name's sake. The church said amen.